It's a pleasure to be here and to witness for Christ. What Christ means to me, I could say many, many things and many Bible verses which he is called by, but only one could I say for myself. He is my Lord and Savior. Since I accepted him from my own free will to follow him and serve him, I accepted Christ in Texas about a year after I married a young Christian boy with a strong conviction in his faith. I met him right after he got out from the Navy. I was in high school. He prayed for me so that when the time came that we would have a home, it would not be a mixed marriage, like our coordinator here say that mixed marriages of Roman Catholics and Christians do not work. It's very true. We had our problems, our misunderstandings, but he always was right because his faith was the true one. I was a Catholic with nothing to hold on, no foundation, no salvation, only my different idols, my different gods I prayed to, because that was the only thing I knew. I was taught and brought up as a child to have devotion to Mary, for only through her I could go to heaven. But that was all wrong. I found that out when I met him. We needed Christ to be the foundation of our home. Our children could not be brought up in a mixed doctrines, two religions in a home, for they wouldn't know which religion to follow. They wouldn't know which one was the true one. So we had to make a choice. So we got married and started praying and praying. And I visited his church. And there, one night, I accepted Christ. Because my religion, like I said, it was just passed from generation to generation, the faith of our fathers, and that was all I knew. I am glad now I am a Christian, because being a Christian, I know I am a child of God. I belong to him, and there's a foundation now in my heart. My husband's father was the first missionary brought from Mexico to Texas from the Home Mission Board. So his background is a Christian, while I was lost with nothing. So I decided to follow his religion and became a Baptist, belonged to a Baptist church, and I was happy, for there I learned how to pray. I left my gods, my idols. I learned to love and forgive, to have fellowship with my brothers, to understand them, to forgive. Those things I didn't know in the church which I belong, in the Catholic Church. For there you are not free to say what you think, because once you start asking questions, the priest will always say, you have evil minded, you have evil spirit, you must confess, do penance for your thoughts. That's all I knew when I was a Catholic. But then, after I left all that behind, there was more freedom in my thoughts. I now can say why I please, why I feel. I don't have to follow other persons and do what they say. And in my other church, there was no freedom. So now this is why I am more happy. Because I have salvation, I am a child of God, safe in his care. And I can depend and trust in him. I learned how to read the Bible that I didn't know as a Catholic. Now I know, and I can understand it. Long time ago, the priest was the only one that could read the gospel, and he did not interpret it, we would all stand up and listen. But that was all. In our church, there is more freedom, and you can read and interpret your Bible and say what you feel in your heart and believe. So there's a lot of difference. We have a family of two children, and we are happy. They are both Christians. I've experienced missions growing. I've experienced in Gilroy where they wanted to open a little mission, and they didn't know who to send. So one night in a service, we decided to go. We accepted the call, and we both went, and it was a wonderful experience. I enjoy working in the field of the Lord. I've also experienced in our church another mission among our Chinese brothers, which we are sponsoring, and that's a wonderful feeling. I couldn't have learned all these things staying in the Roman Catholic Church, like I have now experienced in our Southern Baptist Church. We need more workers among the Mexicans, because there are 100,000 Mexicans in San Jose, and we don't have enough preachers to speak the language to them. So we need to work, we need to pray, and to continue witnessing for Christ. Like I say, I will never stop giving thanks to God for opening my eyes, for giving me a Christian husband with a strong conviction, and I will always pray that the whole world will get to know the Lord and God and Savior and witness for Him all my life.
Mrs. Mattis, Brother Combs, and dear Christian friends, it is exactly 10 years past since I was appointed by the Home Mission Board as the first Southern Baptist missionary to the Russians in the United States. At that time, I came as a stranger and foreigner from Europe, but now I am American. And American not by birth, but by choice, as I had visited 16 countries before I came to America, so I had a very good choice indeed. I am also Baptist by choice and not by birth, as my parents both were Greek Orthodox believers. Needless to say that I am a Southern Baptist by choice, as there are in the United States 27 different bodies of Baptists. But I am definitely Southern because I am sold on what you are as a WMU doing, and also on free cooperation of churches, cooperative program, Sunday school methods and system and materials and everything which connects with the Home Mission Board or Foreign Mission Board. I am 100% Southern. Looking back over to those 10 years spent on Russian field, my heart becomes full of praise and gratitude to the Home Mission Board and to the WMU and to every American friend for their indisputable confidence in me and constant readiness to help. It is 10 years ago that we have started our Russian work in Hollywood, and now we have there a good, strong body of Russian Baptists. 5 years ago, the work was started in the city of San Francisco, and out of nothing, we have now 60 local members. The Third Southern Baptist Church, Russian Baptist Church, we have in Bright, near Sacramento, with over 70 souls in membership. Here in San Francisco, we have a great spiritual need and many opportunities. This air-conditioned city is the capital of Russian refugees on the West Coast, with about 60,000 of them in the Bay Area. Here we have 14 Greek Orthodox churches. three monasteries, three newspapers, schools, groceries, restaurants, bakeries, shops. These people we are trying to reach with the message of salvation. But what about hundreds of other cities in the United States with Russian colonies? There was a moment in my life and service when I realized that I am working among scattered and constantly moving masses. And I prayed, what shall I do, Lord? How to reach those many thousands? Literature evangelism was the vision and the answer. And consequently, we have started to publish a Russian Baptist Christian magazine, so-called Christian, as I will show you now. This looks like those things. It goes out every 2 months, and it goes into 41 states of America, 41 states, and 43 different countries outside of America. We are privileged to publish this Christian, and also we published together with this another publication, Brotherly News, that looks like, here you have this kind of leaflet that goes together with a Christian. And we have weekly publication, so-called Our Church Visitor. By this weekly publication, I am able to preach to 700 people every week. And if you would have more means and time, I would be able to preach through this pamphlet every week for 7,000 souls in this city of San Francisco and elsewhere. Developing this printed page ministry, we came to conclusion that we need our own printing plant. Last year, we have raised up among Russian believers about $9,000, and we purchased Russian linotype and other printing equipment. We are still in desperate need of printing press, for which we are praying. But why this printed page evangelism is so important and desirable? First of all, because the tons of communistic literature come to this land directly from Russia and poison minds of many Russian people here. I have brought here to show you just samples of those many Russian periodicals that are freely and widely spread over this land. And you may buy them fresh from Moscow today and tomorrow and every time you want. Here is a big Gazette Izvestia from Moscow. Comes every morning, and you may buy it as you like. Very cheap. Izvestia, another number. Then we have Pravda, official communistic newspaper of Moscow. You may have that. In addition to that, you have some other publications. We have Modern Time for Politicians, a very cheap edition. You may get it today and anytime you like. Physical education here for young people, a very beautiful illustrated magazine that is spread all over the country. Soviet Woman, here you have a beautiful illustrated magazine in Russian language. Soviet Union, a very beautiful, very costly illustrated magazine. And then you have another, and another, and another. Here is the knowledge and power. Here is for a young man, young communists. They are trying to get some new cadres here. There are another magazine, so-called Change, for everybody. Then they publish something for young people and for children, and for everyone, and as a matter of fact, you may get it anywhere you like. Here in San Francisco and New York and many other colonies, we have special groups and we have special shops You may just go across the street here in San Francisco to Macalester Street, just one block down, and under the number of 90, you will see in the window all these publications I have shown you in Russian language. You will get them free of charge in that shop in English language. That so-called international student fellowship is just a communistic agency in this town, and it bears no sign of anything. You will just come in and you will see what a reception you will get. It is just the side by side with the university extension and with the law college of law. So they know whom to fool. So that's the first thing why we are so eager to print Russian gospel literature for free distribution here in the United States. Then the second, because for the Russian people, the printed word has a power second to none. The communists, they realized it long ago, and they used it with a great success. We do stress this ministry of printed page also because Satan uses this method in many countries and forbids us to use our Baptist literature. We must produce a good sound Baptist literature for free distribution also because many other Russian missionaries in many lands and other cities, they are pleading with us to supply them with the needed tracts. They go visiting people empty-handed and they ask us to give them literature, but we ourselves have not much to offer. The printed page evangelism is a mighty weapon in the hands of many devoted Russian Christians which are cooperating with us in many lands. So great and so important this ministry is that I was unable to combine my duties as a pastor of a local church with these special duties of printing and publishing. And from now on, the Russian literature evangelism appears to me as the big must for the rest of my life. And to this end, I have humbly dedicated myself. Our ultimate ambition is to enjoy American freedom into full measure, to the uttermost, to write and to publish and to distribute the gospel literature in great abundance. We would want to scatter the printed page in every Russian colony of United States and abroad, just like it lives in autumn. The only lack of means may prevent us from doing it. As you go home from this convention to your respective churches, tell your people of this new ministry of the Home Mission Board. Tell them about our needs and danger and struggles and hopes because we still believe in miracles. There is a red light I see under my cover. We still believe in miracles. Here in San Francisco, when we have started the work, there was no possibility of doing much work here, and there was no much encouragement, but God has sent us a check, rather not us, but to the Home Mission Board, a check for $27,000 designated for the Russian mission work in San Francisco. And out of that miracle, the work is growing up. So we still believe in miracles. God is just the same today. If we will start to pray, God will help us to scatter this gospel message around the world. Outside of Russian borders, there is a great multitude of people. It's a second Russia that we deal with. And God bless those people that are still in darkness and help them through our service and sacrifice. Thank you.
Brother Charles A. Telmi is the pastor of the Hungarian congregation in Hollywood, and those people will sing for us at this time.
Mrs. Luck, our soloist of our Hungarian Baptist choir, will sing a solo. Our Hungarian Baptist Church of Hollywood only 1 year old, and every member of our church is in the choir and in the orchestra. Here only one part of our choir now.
Thank you. Let us stand and sing hymn number 4. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. Hymn number 4.
Our beloved secretary for the Home Mission Board, Dr. Quartz Redford, is in the audience. And Dr. Redford, would you please come to the platform? Dr. Redford, we're grateful for your leadership with Southern Baptist for our home mission work. We would like to express that appreciation to you this afternoon and tell you that we believe that we're going to meet that goal for the Annie Armstrong offering. And I know you believe in it.
I believe that because we're far ahead of last year at this time.
That's fine. We'd like for you to stay here on the platform, and we'd like for you to lead us in prayer for all of our home mission work.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to Thee for the blessings Thou hast given us. We thank Thee for Women's Missionary Union, dear Lord, for all that it has meant to the ongoing of the kingdom. We thank Thee for her leadership today, for these state workers and others that are serving so effectively in the advancement of Thy kingdom, both at home and abroad. And Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee this afternoon for the support that has been forthcoming from these offerings, and even more than that, for their prayers and their concern and their general support of our work. We thank Thee for this program this afternoon, for those who have spoken, and for the scores and scores of others that would like to bring a message about the advancement of Thy kingdom. Now, as we come to the rest of this program, we pray, dear Heavenly Father, Thou wilt bless those who come. Bless every one of our missionaries that circled the globe this afternoon. Dear Father, wilt thou let thy mighty power rest upon them. And wherever they are, may they be conscious of our concern and of our interest. And so take us just now, each and every one of us, dear Lord, and use us to thy glory and for the advancement of thy kingdom, for Christ's sake, and in his name we ask it. Amen.
As the secretaries of our two boards, the Home Mission Board, Dr. Courts Redford, and the Foreign Mission Board, Dr. Baker James Coffin, join us here on this platform this afternoon. I think you are aware, even as I am aware, that this is a relationship that is one of the most wonderful relationships that we enjoy in Woman's Missionary Union. For we have set ourselves to the task for the promotion of missions through study and prayer and giving here at home and out to the uttermost parts of the earth. The relationships which we have as leaders with these two leaders are so wonderful. There is no way to tell you just how wonderful they are. But we enjoy them because you have placed us in these places of leadership. Now that we have pulled out of Dr. Redford a statement of faith in us and in all Southern Baptists who have a part in giving to the Annie Armstrong offering, surely we'll not have any trouble in pulling a statement out of Dr. Baker James Coffin, the Executive Secretary for the Foreign Mission Board, for the most wonderful foreign mission offering that has ever been given on the face of this earth, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering of 1962. I'm going to let him tell you the figures because I imagine I'll steal something from him if I do. And surely he will mention the goal for next year, an almost unbelievable one. It is my pleasure to present Dr. Coffin to you now, and he will have charge of the next period of this program. Dr. Baker James Coffin.
Madam President, Ms. Hunt, Dr. Redford, and all of you dear friends, may I, on behalf not only of the Foreign Mission Board, but of missionaries all across the world and national Baptist bodies struggling to emerge and areas that still look to us, dumbly expressing their great desire that something be done, and we tardily stand upon their borders, long overdue in entering. On behalf of all these, may I express to you the deep gratitude for this magnificent offering to which reference has been made. The total of it is $9,315,754.78. You can't remember all that exact figure. $9,300,000. The largest offering for missions, as far as I know, ever laid at one time upon the altar by any body of Christian people anywhere in the world. And now, because of what you've done, the next year's goal for this offering, celebrating your own 75th anniversary and being a part of the World Missions Year of 1963, is a figure of $10,700,000. How we thank God for this money turned into what it means in mission labor, means missionaries crossing the world to tell the story. It means hospitals operating in meeting human need. It means schools teaching, breaking the bread of life to people who've never known it. It means young ministers being prepared to tell the blessed story in land after land. It means that there is a labor of evangelism in great cities and in small villages. It means that work goes on in publication. It means that across the world a story is told in places that otherwise would be neglected. We thank you with all our hearts. But while expressing gratitude for this offering, I must express a gratitude not only for the money, but for the intercessory prayer that makes this money significant. and your labor of mission study that gives compassion to it. And while expressing gratitude for this wonderful Lottie Moon Christmas offering, I must underscore the gratitude that we feel for your constant reinforcing of the cooperative program, which strengthens the hands of all of God's workers at home and around the world, and without it, we would not be able to labor. In my heart, I believe there is no force that reinforces, that carries forward the burden of the cooperative program more than Woman's Missionary Union. And I believe there is no facet of that support more significant than that represented by the Annie Armstrong Christmas offering and the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, as they reinforce the labor which must be carried forward. This afternoon, the spotlight of attention turns across the world. To an unusual degree in recent months, attention has been drawn to Latin America, a vast area of destiny, but also a vast area of danger. Shall Latin America presently be marked by the hammer and the sickle? Shall these lands to our south, with all their potential, presently be America's number one danger spot? Or will Latin America become a place where the gospel of Jesus is known and believed and is followed? The answer lies largely with us. In that great area of Latin America, there stands Argentina, a country of vibrant power, a country of great potential. And in it now, there is a strong, forward-moving Baptist work. In that Baptist work, a part of it stands in our International Baptist Theological Seminary, located in the metropolis of Buenos Aires. There, Reverend and Mrs. Dan Sprinkle do their work. Mr. Sprinkle is a business manager, along with being a minister. And Mrs. Sprinkle, there is a homemaker, as a Christian witness, makes an impact in the service of the Lord Jesus. In a moment, she will come and tell us from her heart about the work of our Lord in that area. But I'm going to present two speakers at one time, for the spotlight of attention also turns this afternoon to Europe, where somehow we are sensing a new feeling of optimism as Europe is moving out into a better economy. And along with that better economy, from all over Western Europe, there comes a note of more optimism about things spiritually. And God is opening doors into many of those lands that we might as Baptists extend a greater ministry. How glad we are for a better day in the land of Italy. Never has there been a brighter day for the doing of our work in Italy than now. And we are vastly encouraged by the progress being made by our Italian Baptist brethren. A wide open door in their hearts for the missionaries, exceeding anything we've known before. And in that work, there stands the Armstrong Training School. To it, there come young women who find in that institution their hearts greatly inspired and their minds enlightened, and they go out to fill their places of responsibility in Italian Baptist work. That school is led by and directed by Miss Virginia Wingo. Her name is a name we all love because she was known to Woman's Missionary Union before ever she went to the mission field. And there to see her in action in Rome is to sense a great love in her heart for those Italian people and the greater love for the Lord that took her there. In a moment, Mrs. Sprinkle first will come and open her heart to us about Argentina and Latin America. And then Miss Virginia Wingo, who labors in the city of Rome in the Armstrong Training School, will come and tell us what Christ is doing there. Mrs. Sprinkle will come now.
Madam President, Ms. Hunt, Dr. Cawthon, and dear Christian friends,
I confess that I know that some missionaries have been asked to speak to you because of great things that they have done for their Lord. And I know that I have been asked to speak to you because the Lord has done great things for me through you. I was a little Catholic girl who lived around the corner from a Southern Baptist mission, Rachel Sims Mission in New Orleans. I was a child for whom you prayed when you studied and supported home mission work. I attended this little Baptist mission occasionally when I was a child and daily as a teenager. I learned about Christ from the lives of the missionaries and from what they taught me. When I was 11, I went through the ceremony of being confirmed into the Catholic Church, but I was a confused Catholic. And when I was 13, I was baptized into the Baptist church nearest Rachel Sims Mission in New Orleans. College and Women's Missionary Union education was afforded me through Women's Missionary Union scholarship. This background has made easy my commitment of life service in a strongly Catholic foreign land, Argentina. After living in Argentina for 5 years, I'm thankful for this opportunity to say thank you for making mission work all over the world possible. Thank you. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to encourage you to go on praying and giving that the story of the love of God might be told to all nations. Argentina is a land that is beautiful. It's rich by nature. It's a land of promise. But it's a country that's poor in leadership and in moral values. The people are dignified and patriotic and individualistic. The Catholic Church, to most of the people, is like a government agency where they sign in at birth and marriage and death. Many people want their names on the roll of this, the biggest church. They like the big leader idea, with a priest who can forgive them for their venial sins and promise them forgiveness for their more important sins through purgatory. Some Argentines cling blindly to the Catholic Church, void of any other religious idea except what the priest tells him. But most Argentines are only flimsily attached to that church. No expression do they use more as they describe themselves religiously as saying no muy católico, not very Catholic. The popular slogan of that church last year in Argentina was, "Let's return to God by way of the Virgin Mary." Now, such a slogan made some people cringe, and others say their Hail Marys more ardently. The spiritual life of the people was certainly not helped. The rich and the poor of Argentina get along better materially than politically or spiritually. Though money is scarce, the Argentine manages to be well-dressed and well-fed. The señor often has to have 2 full-time jobs to help his standard of living. Argentines are busy, and as they run through life, trying to grasp an important place for themselves in this world today, your missionaries work there, trying to say to the people, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Your mission in Argentina works as you do, through local Baptist churches. Christ is building his kingdom through churches. In Argentina, there are 357 churches and small preaching points. There are about 125 Argentine pastors, most of whom are trained in our Baptist International Theological Seminary, and these Argentines, many of them are great, mature Christian men. Your missionaries proudly work side by side with them, telling the Argentines the wonderful story of Jesus. Our churches are organized into a convention. You would feel at home in a convention meeting there. The missionaries are usually not pastors of churches in Argentina for long periods of time due to other responsibilities. And so they are sent as representatives from their church to the convention, as you are. Also, they are elected by the convention to serve on boards and to do their work just like we work here in the United States. 3,200 Christian women work in the 135 Women's Missionary Societies in Argentina. Evangelistic services in the home and revivals for women are outstanding in the Women's Missionary Societies in Argentina. It's always been marvelous to me to see how an Argentine woman can turn preacher for a week. Now, I don't want you to think that I've had an important part in the work in Argentina. My joy in Christian service has been like your joy in Christian service here, through my church and in my role of being a Christian wife and a Christian neighbor and a Christian mother, or I should say mother, because I have four children, three born in Argentina. It's more difficult to be faithful to your church in Argentina than in here. No nurseries there, no deluxe shopping centers, no frozen foods, and for me, often no daddy, as daddy was usually working in many different churches, whereas the children and I attended the church nearest our community. Sometimes in my house, I burned the rice in the pot trying to think of what I would say at Women's Missionary Society meeting. And sometimes at WMS meeting, my mind wandered and I tried to think of what I would put in the pot when I got home to cook. One afternoon, I started my routine to make WMS afternoon happy for everyone. My two girls are glad to go with me to WMS because they like to play with the pastor's daughter in the back patio of the church. A Catholic neighbor always took care of my little two-year-old boy. And this was to be a happy afternoon because my new baby boy was to go to WMS for the first time, all dressed in his little blue wool suit knitted for him by the ladies of the WMS of my church. All ready to go, I tucked my baby in his crib to get the things I needed to make the afternoon happy. His bottle, his little cap, his pacifier, his diapers, my hymn book, my offering, and my Bible. Soon I had the girls, and we were running down the street. We got on the bus, the likes of which you may have never seen, to go to the community where the church is. We ran to the church. I left the girls in the patio. I relaxed in the church pew. Yes, I had it all right. They had the baby cap, the bib, the bottle, the diapers, my hymn book, my offering, the Bible, but I'd left the baby at home in his crib. I'm afraid that maybe that's the kind of mission work I did sometime in Argentina. My husband did less diaper changing in Argentina and did more religious-sounding work often. He, besides doing the jobs that the mission asked him to do, that of being treasurer and for the last year administrator of the seminary, worked in our churches and pastoral-type duties as the churches asked him to help him in serving in revivals and in all kinds of committees, coordination committees, finance committees, church building committees. And he taught so many study courses in stewardship in Sunday school that usually he was not present for the evening meal with the children. Our family had the unique joy of working with two other missionary couples who lived in our neighborhood and having Thursday night Bible class in our home. We alternated homes by the month. And to these meetings, we did not invite our Baptist nor other Christian friends. We invited our other neighbors, our friends, our doctor, our business acquaintances, and all of our bill collectors. Often we had 35 present in this meeting. My neighbor, who was my babysitter, my Catholic neighbor, became an enthusiastic propaganda agent for these meetings and soon had most of her family present in the meetings and had her husband ride his bicycle a long way to buy a Bible for their family. My gardener and the two associates who own the grocery store from whom I buy, and many others of my neighbors, heard the Gospel of John in my home for the first time, though they put their pesos in St. John's poor box in their church all of their life. You can be confident that the Argentine churches are doing well their job of leading people in worship and in growing in Christian living and giving them opportunities to work to bring others to know the Lord. And you can be sure that your missionaries there are doing the best they can in all kinds of jobs like these, working with 100 students in the seminary, working in the national camp and 6 associational camps, working in the publication board, leading in promotional work in evangelism, Sunday school, trading union, women's missionary union, and vacation Bible school. All kinds of job, but always seeking to do what you have sent us out to do. To seek, win, prepare, baptize, and train Argentines to know Jesus Christ and to serve Him. Often the missionaries work in the background, but their job's just the same, to tell about Jesus. One missionary who recently was a background worker in a camp situation, getting what it takes to get a camp program going, He also helped to organize street services in the nearby town. And a man who heard the gospel at this service took the missionary on inland to his ranch. And there at a general store introduced him to a strange Argentine. And this other man said to the Argentine, "Do you know Jesus?" And the man said, "I've heard of him, but I've never seen him." No matter what your missionaries do, no matter what kind of jobs they have, you can be confident that that's their goal, to help people to see Jesus through a personal experience with him. My sadness is that the total picture of Catholicism and communism is bigger and louder than the total picture that we have been able to make in our Baptist work. It scares me that communism gets more in the headlines than our Baptist church work does. You know, and I know, that we're going to have to do better our job of telling the story of Jesus to all the nations. We missionaries have all thankfulness to you for the way that you give and give and give through the cooperative program. We have all praise for you for the way that you give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Now, if we thought that we had all the years possible in the future to do our work, we might be able to go along as we are going, and someday the world might be won to Christ. But a little insight into the world situation today knows that we must win this world for Christ now. Is this nation that is talking big about money for everything else willing to talk even bigger about money to win souls for Jesus? Are those of you with television willing to give more so that people in Argentina can see Christ over television, so that we can have Spanish programs in Argentina? You know, the Argentines see our television. They see our cowboys, our twist dancers, our detectives, our models. When will they see Jesus, the Jesus who we love, over television? Are those of us who worship in beautiful churches willing to share more of our money by giving it through the cooperative program to foreign missions so that people all over the world might have adequate churches? If Christ is building his kingdom through churches, we need better churches all over the world. In Argentina, there are really only 4 adequate church buildings. Most of the churches meet in small rent halls or homes. When my little girl, who's just recently is 5, came to the States about 2 months ago and for the first Sunday morning went and walked into her Sunday school class, she was really awed. And her teacher said to me, "I think she felt a little strange." And I cried as I saw that Sunday school class because it was so beautiful and I was so happy for her. But all of her life, she was born in Argentina, her Sunday school class was either a bathroom or the small kitchen of the pastor's wife. My yearning is that boys and girls all over the world might have adequate Sunday school classes. Money is really not the biggest need on the mission field, however. It's the lack of personnel. The most discouraging thing in the work of the missionaries is just that each one of them has so much more than he can possibly do. The most surprising thing I've had since I've come home has been noticing in church bulletins how many more workers we have in our churches now than 5 years ago. This, to me, is a good sign. But we must see this good sign of more workers in each field all over the world if Christ's work is really to be done right. To me, an honest study of the needs all over the world and a yearning to win souls for Jesus, really believing that God is love and that Christ wants to work through us to win this world for him, just understanding this and knowing the world situation can be the framework to call many more people here to work in foreign lands. I have told you that I believe that many of you prayed for me when I was a little girl. You have prayed for missionaries on the foreign field, and this is more important than bread and water to us. The kind of Christian that you are at home is the biggest job that you have to do for world missions. The whole world is looking at you. When we left Argentina, we didn't want to tell our pastor that we were going to leave the exact date because we didn't want them to have a farewell party for us. But he said to us, you must tell us the exact date, so that before you go, we can present you to our church as our missionaries from Argentina to go to the United States to tell the people there to do better their job of being a Christian, to be the best kind of Christian that they can be, that all nations, when they see us, might see Christianity. Do you really believe that Jesus died to save the world from their sins? Then don't you believe that the most important thing that you have to do in your life is to help all people know this Jesus and our God of love? God wants all of the world, all of the souls in the world, to be His, because He loves all people and He wants to work through you.
When Lavora was speaking, I thought of the first time I saw her.